Brothers and sisters in Islam, the topic which has been assigned to me is the last day. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one day is considered to Him like 1,000 years of our time. How many years? 1,000. وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِّمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. One day to Allah, He considers it equivalent to 1,000 years of what we count. So the last day of this world began 1,000 years ago. 1,000 years ago is the last day of this world. Whatever happens in that time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like one day. You and I live how much? How long? 50, 60, 70 years, 100 years. It's only a drop in the ocean compared to 1,000 years. Yet we are part of that just one day. And there is another day, the day of judgment. That day is not 1,000 years or 2,000 or 10,000. It is 50,000 years. Allah says in the Quran, في يوم كان مقداره خمسين ألف سنة. On a day, the day of judgment, which is estimated to be equivalent to 50,000 years of what we count. Just a drop in the ocean the last 1,000 years we are, and then standing on a day which is as long as 50,000 years, a man said, Ya Rasulallah, oh, innahu lazamanun taweel. That expression that we make, gosh, it's a long time, 50,000 years, Ya Rasulallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and said, Wallahi, for a mu'min on that day who's destined to enter Jannah, it'll be for them as long as 2 rak'ahs they prayed in this life. It'll seem like that. And then the people who have less deeds than them, it'll seem a little bit longer. For others who have even less deeds than them, it'll seem a bit longer. Until the worst of people on that day, they will stand for 50,000 years. So 50,000 years will not be for everybody like that. However, Allah called it a day. The sun will be there, there'll be no night. There'll be no sleep. There'll be no rest. All of our journey from the beginning of the world till the end is in preparation for that day. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him a question. Mata as-sa'ah ya Rasulullah? When will the last hour be, O Messenger of Allah? He is asking about when the last day of this world will be. The poor man thinks that he's going to live until the last hour of this world. He wants to prepare for it. 1,400 years ago, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to him with an amazing wise word. A question to his question. ماذا أعددت لها? What have you prepared for it? That's the question you should be asking. Don't ask when is the world going to end. Allah knows when it will end. Not even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows. In fact, it's irrelevant for us to know when it will end. By the time it ends, you will be nothing mentioned. What have you prepared for it? Taib, this man is not going to live until the end of time. How can he prepare for it? So what does Rasulullah ﷺ mean therefore? In other words, he is asking him, what have you prepared for your death? For your death. Now that is something that we should be thinking about. And here this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu which is in Ibn Majah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, I was sitting among 10 people. I was the 10th of them because I was a little child at that time. I was sitting among them. And if you were to count them, you will count the big people first and then you will look at me last because I was a child at that time. So I was the 10th. He said, I was sitting among Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'een, Ibn Mas'ud, Hudhayf ibn al-Yaman, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, when a young boy entered from the Ansar. I want you to picture as if we're sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1400 years ago. And he asked him a question, Ya Rasulullah, which type of mu'min is the best? Little boy wants to know, which type of Muslim mu'min is the best? Man ahsanul mu'minin? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, he is the one who is the best in character and manners. The best of the mu'mins are the ones who is of best character and manners. طيب, when we ask a question, who is the best person, we say a mu'min. So a mu'min must automatically have the best of character and manners. Isn't that correct? You say someone's a mu'min, you say, well, he must have a best character and manners. Which is why sometimes we look at mu'minin today and we say, huh, and this person calls themselves religious? Their character stinks. Their manners is down the drain. They go to pray salat mu'minin, but they park their car in the neighbor's driveway. They call themselves mu'minin. Isn't that correct? Because when we think of mu'min, we automatically think what? We think that they must have high character and manners. No, that's not true. There's mu'min and there's character and manners. And that's why the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam, she said about Musa alayhi salam, Ya abat istajirhu inna khayra man istajirta al-qawiyu al-amin. Oh father, hire Musa alayhi salam. The best of those whom you hire is the one who is strong and trustworthy. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam said, when you choose a husband or a husband for your daughter, choose the one that has deen and khuluq, religion and character. Why not just say religion alone? So character and manners is the virtue that every mu'min is trying to reach. So the one boy said, who is the best of the mu'min? He said, the one with the best character and manners. So then he asked him, which of the mu'mineen is the smartest and most intelligent? He said, the one who remembers death the most and prepares the most for his death or her death before it reaches them, he or she is the smartest and most intelligent of believers. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we live in a time now that Rasulullah ﷺ gave us many warnings and signs about. He gave them as clear as the sun is from the day, with some ambiguities here and there that can be interpreted as time goes on. He told us that there will come a time where people will be so hooked with their hearts on this dunya that they no longer think about death anymore. Death is the last thing they want to talk about. In fact, we do live in a society like that. In the media, in all sorts of media, at schools, the way the society is run, it's all about life, not about death. In fact, talking about death seems like you're crazy. Something's wrong with you. Isn't that correct? They sit and they say, well, these Muslims talking about death. I'm sure if a non-Muslim heard me right now standing here before you saying to you, the smart person is the one who thinks about death, they'll say you're the craziest people. You are the furthest away from smart. But when you put it in context, what does death mean to us? Death to us means that it's the end of your exam and now it is time to be judged for what you have done or what you have not done. It's the end of the exam. And I'm sure, I'm an educator, when we go to school, the best principal and the best teachers are the ones who constantly remind the students about the exam time. And then they tell them, be careful, the exam's not the end, it's what you get afterwards. They talk about their future, they talk about after year 12, after university, they talk about career, they bring in career advisors. They bring all these people who are talking about 20 years ahead. Isn't that correct? It's about the end of your schooling, the end of your exam time, and then the pay time. What will you receive out of your work? Isn't that correct? For a mu'min, this whole entire world is like that schooling time. It's the exam time. Some people sit at the front, some people sit at the back, some people have got the privilege of sitting somewhere on the sides where they can cheat a little bit better, or maybe at the back. You know how students look at it? If you sit at the back, you can cheat. The ones at the front, oh man, God help them, they can't cheat. So people look at your seating, some people privileged than others, isn't that correct? In this world, we also sit in a seating position. Some of us are wealthy and rich, some of us are healthier than others, some people are more poorer, other people have got more challenges than other people, and we assume that the wealthy person is in a better seating position. The poor person is in the seat at the back, isn't that correct? But at the end of the day, we all die. And the rich person and the poor person end up being exactly the same. Exactly the same. And that's why they don't want you to talk about death. They want to keep this hierarchy. Get wealthy and very rich, and that's, you know, high status. And this is what it's all about. Drive an expensive car, have an amazing house, have a high position and status, get a name and a fame, fortune. Which explains to me why people, or a question, why people love to display themselves on social media in a way that they are not. You know what I'm talking about, right? On Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat. Not one of those people up there is really who they are. We live in a fake world. Not one person, any model on that billboard actually exists in real life. Did you know that? Every single model you've ever seen of any man or woman or child or animal advertising anything or promoting anything is actually real, because they're all photoshopped. Isn't that correct? A smile. How long does a smile take for a person to do? 5 seconds? 2 seconds? And a snapshot is very quick. Anybody can smile. I would like to see that person after they smile, after they've taken that snapshot. Texting each other. We text each other and we put a big smiling face. But if you look at that person who's texting, what do they look like? A zombie would be an understatement. Sitting there all quiet and they're smiling and excited, they're partying, they're getting sad, they're crying just by poking at some screen. But they're just one figure that's really fake. Why am I saying this? I'm saying that Rasulullah ﷺ said the smart and intelligent person is the one who is thinking about the end of this exam. And the one who is not smart is living a fake life. And the world we live in today is about fakeness. Which one will you be part of? So this boy, when he asked this question, he went silent. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he approached us. Abdullah ibn Umar said, the Prophet ﷺ approached us. He's about to say something so important that he just remembered. He said, Ya ma'ashar al-muhajirin, O noble muhajirun, O migrants. He's talking to Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. These were the ones who migrated from Mecca to Medina. Because this was at the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ. He said, O noble men of muhajirin, there are 5 bad things that are going to happen. They are going to befall my ummah towards the end of time. وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ I seek refuge in Allah that it does not happen in your time. Such a difficult challenge. He said, and I want the young people to listen to this especially. Parents also indirectly. Close one ear and open the other ear. He said, number one, when sexual obscenity becomes a widespread norm in my ummah. And it will never happen except if they start committing it publicly and publicizing it openly, meaning they feel proud about talking about it. They feel good talking about it. They don't have to do it, but they talk about it, they publicize it. Rasulullah ﷺ said, they make i'lan for it, they make an advertising for it. Do you know what that means? It means that when you're at school, for example, at high school, and you hear your friend talking about going out with a boyfriend, or a boy saying, I've been out with this many girls, they're actually lying to you. It's not true. And then you go and do it because you think everybody else is doing it. Immense studies have come up today telling us, research about high school students, young people, why do they commit zina? They say because they think everyone else does, but they don't. And everybody loves to publicize themselves that way. And zina is not publicized just by merely saying, I go out with this person or that person. Today on social media, it's publicized in an indirect way. How? The way girls and boys pose on the internet to other people. That type of posing is a sexual posing, my brothers and sisters in Islam. The way they do it with their mouth and with their eyes and with their faces. Rasulullah ﷺ told us they publicize zina. You know that round mouth thing? What do they call it? Huh? Duck face. What? Duck. Oh, anyway, it's got some kind of name. This thing was taken from the baboon kingdom. Did you know that? You study zoology, I'll tell you, it took from the baboon kingdom. Because the baboon have a big red side. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's lipstick or degrading anybody. No, 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 no. I'm saying they display it in order to call the mate. Now we're displaying it, boys and girls. I'm not talking about females only. I'm talking about men as well. I'm not being sexist here. I'm saying the publicizing of sexual material and sexual images. Sorry if I said that word too many times. Because we live, and I'm going to say it one more time, in a hypersexualized society. Rasulullah ﷺ told us this is what's going to happen, and this is the most widespread thing right now. Most widespread thing right now. People are going to die with this. It is an absolute epidemic that Rasulullah ﷺ told us, وَفَشَ الزِّنَا. Zina is widespread throughout. He's not talking about the non-Muslims. He is telling the ummah, he's saying, my ummah, they will be in that. And then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, then mark my words, he said, then mark my words, terminal illnesses, diseases and pain that had never existed in their ancestors before them will come, become widespread among them. And this is the types of, he called it ta'un. Ta'un in those days was any unknown sickness that brought death to a person. There was no cure to it. And he said, there will be diseases that have no cure that will become an epidemic among my ummah. Today we have HIV, AIDS, and we have STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. Now I have questions like this from the Muslim community. Brother said, I'm a marriage celebrant, so people come to asking me questions. Can I get married? I said, yes, why not? And these are the types of questions I'm getting now. Brother, do I have to tell this person that I'm getting married to that I have STD? Did you know that these are the questions they're asking me right now? All over the place. We say, yes, of course you have to tell them because it's a contagious disease. They say, what if I have it under control? There's some kind of control pills. Say, but when you don't have the pills, they actually, what, they exacerbate. And then if they're pregnant, they have a child, the child gets that STD as well automatically. Did you know that? Among the Muslim ummah. You know why? Because people, what they say is, Muslims, they say, I'm not committing zina, but they do everything else. And look what happens, as Rasulullah ﷺ told us. You know why I opened up with this? You're probably thinking, why have I opened it up with this? We're talking about the last day. This is the last day. The last 1,000 years of this world, right towards the end, this is what has happened to us. So Rasulullah ﷺ told us that this is what's going to happen. Five things. The second thing he said, they will cheat in their business and trade as a livelihood. And that's when drought will come upon them, meaning poverty, dictating rulers and oppressive rulers upon them. Maybe not in Australia, but in 60% of the world, this is happening among the ummah. They live upon cheating, lying and betraying. It happens here in Australia too, if you don't get caught legally. For example, give you an example. A Muslim wants to buy a car from another Muslim. One Muslim says, Wallahi, it cost me this much. The other Muslim believes him because he said, Wallahi. So then the other Muslim wants to blackmail him. How does he blackmail him? By using verses of the Quran, a hadith. Says, Ya Akhi, Allah said, Rasulullah said, love for your brother what you love for yourself. I'm your brother. Give me a cheaper price. So the other brother resorts to the Wallahi thing and he resorts to the hadith thing. Each one blackmailing the other person with the religion. And this brings to me a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he said, and this is in Ibn Majah, he said, people will use the religion for their worldly gain. This is towards the end of time. They will use the religion for their worldly gain. They will use the religion for a status. Look at me, I'm a sheikh. Now listen to me. I'm a sheikha, female. Now listen to me. I am such and such of a person. This is my hadith and ayat. Now I will get to make people believe what I say and I'll be the person who everybody listens to. It's even worse today because we get to hide behind usernames on the computer. Everybody, even the most shyest of people has become the loudest person now. Sits in their bedroom, hides behind a username and feels it okay to type anything. It never goes off. And this is where your fatwa now is. People kind of believe some things when they get written. I don't know why. This is the world we live in, using the deen for worldly gain. Number three, he said they will stop their zakat. People, how many people even know the rules in Islam of zakat? What are the rulings of zakat? How do you give zakat? For what do you give zakat? I'm sure, mashallah, a lot of us know a lot about Islamic finance and the riba banks. Because many Muslims, they say, what's this Islamic finance business? I'll just go to ANZ. It's the same thing, man. This is trade. It's just a different name, they say. If everybody's such an expert on Islamic finance and all this other finance, how come they don't know much about zakat? Yani, this is what Rasulullah is saying. People become ignorant about their own deen. Number four, he said, they will betray the promises and loyalty to Allah to the point that the enemy will control and possess their wealth. Now, millions and billions of dollars are given away to the non-Muslims to deal with it in our own countries and control us. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ said the fifth thing is, their leaders and figures do not apply the laws of Allah's book, but choose what suits from them, for themselves, until Allah curses them with disunity and enmity amongst each other. I say to you, it's not just the leaders, but all figures. Everybody now has become a leader, a self-appointed leader of themselves. On social media, for example. And what it has caused is disunity and defragmentation of our ummah. We cut each other off, we don't talk to each other. We meet each other now on Facebook, and that's about it really. People don't meet anyone anymore. People don't say salams except to people who they know. Otherwise, it's a very individualistic society. We live in a society where it's about you and only you, myself and me. Rasulullah ﷺ told us the last day will be about that. About me and myself, or I. Three most common words used now. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Rasulullah ﷺ told us towards the last hour, there will be extreme display. تُعْرَضُ الْفِتَنُ The fitan, the trials and tribulations, will be displayed before you. There's a very intricate word he is using here. Display meaning they will be placed in front. You're not even looking for it, but it will be in front of you. Just like the pieces of straws in a straw mat. There's so many of them, and these straws are displayed to you. These fitan are displayed to you like all the individual straws in a straw mat. If you ever look at a straw mat, it's got about 10,000 straws in it, maybe 100,000 straws in it. When you look at a straw mat, you see all the straws individually, don't you? Don't you? You kind of see how they go along, and they're all at once. So Rasulullah is using a metaphor here. He's saying the fitan will be so many on that day that you will look at them, you'll see them all at once in front of you, and you recognize that each one is on its own. Fitna after fitna after fitna after fitna, all displaying themselves in front of you. He said, there will be two hearts on that day, two hearts. One type of heart will be pure, and the other type of heart will be murky, stinky, and ugly and dark. The pure heart will be the ones that reject these fitan and try to go against it. And the fitan, the hearts which will be dark and murky, are the ones who take it and accept it and love it. Once I was driving out of my house, I went down to the next street. This street is two-way. Cars coming this way, cars going that way. So if you go down in one direction, it's very hard to overtake another vehicle. As I was reaching the roundabout, there was a bus stop. I looked at the bus a few meters ahead, and right at the back of the bus is a huge picture of a woman partially naked. Now, you shouldn't be shocked, because this is very normal, isn't it? Is it normal or not? Normal or abnormal? Very normal. Normal everywhere you go. You just drive, kids see it, very normal. So I said, I better beat that bus, because if I don't beat it, the bus is going to be right in front of me. And I can't overtake because there'll be cars coming this way, and I have to look at the bus because otherwise I'll have an accident. What am I looking at? The picture. So then the bus went in front of me. How strong is the shaitan? So the bus went in front of me, driving behind this bus. Where do I have to look? Trying to look away, I'm going to have an accident. Until the bus, alhamdulillah, went away. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. I said, Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Truthful is he. That the fitan will be displayed before your eyes. You can't even run away from it. This day and age, the other day this brother said, brother, I lowered my gaze to the ground and I see a magazine with another woman on it. I looked away from this at a shop right there, displayed on the window. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You're going to read your email, bang, right in front of you, this junk mail comes up. Sometimes they display. Isn't that correct? Everywhere. Grade fives and sixes are now looking at stuff they shouldn't be looking at. By the time they're in year nine, Allahu Akbar, gone with the wind. Pornography has become a widespread epidemic today. Rasulullah SAW told us, on before the last hour, there will be a time when people will look at this as very normal, to the point where you will see people committing the act of zina on a normal street where people pass by in the public area, and people will take it so normal and ordinary that you say, look, at least, you know, that's cute, but at least you can go aside a little bit there, away from the people, let us walk. People see it very normal. Now we've gone even more than that. That was probably a few decades ago. Now it's even worse. People aren't out in the street anymore, they're inside their homes. In the other day, you know, in my day, my parents, if they sent me to the room, it was a prison for me. Today you send the child to the bedroom, it's paradise. Give them an iPad, their phone, or a computer. They don't want computers anymore. And the whole world is at their feet. They don't need to go out anymore. Brothers and sisters in Islam, wallahi, it's an epidemic. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, when my ummah will accept as lawful five things, then destruction will become upon them. Number one, cursing and insulting and swearing. Very normal now. Husband and wife curse each other all the time. Very normal. They curse their friends. Now they just say it very easily on the internet. There's symbols and there's phrases which they say. I don't want to say them, but it's very normal. People laugh about them. Ha 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 ha, you're such a... And bang. The worst of words. Alcohol drinking becomes normal. Wearing silk for men. This is a metaphor. It can either mean physically they wear silk, which because it's haram for men to wear silk. But what it means figuratively is that men will imitate women a lot. Rasulullah ﷺ said, and women will imitate men as well, of course. He also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dancing women. The ummah will hire dancing women in their functions, in restaurants, in weddings, and so on and so forth. And number five, men serve their sexual desire with men and women serve it with women. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is highlighting that it will be among the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among the Muslims. Don't we have gay imams now? I say imam, not shaykh, because imam means a leader, a destructive leader. Allahu Akbar. Nas'alullah al-afiyya. The hour will not come until the happiest of people seem to be, those who are criminals in the way they earn their money, meaning they rip off people and they extort people's wealth. You know who he's talking about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He's talking about the banks. He's talking about people who deal in riba. It's made lawful now, but they're actually the biggest criminals. There's this film documentary called The Four Horsemen. I advise you to watch it, The Four Horsemen. About the criminals of the world who are entrepreneurs and capitalists who use this system of riba as if it's normal and okay. But they are the biggest criminals on earth. Drug dealing, buildings, private jets, capitalism. They are making 100,000% profit on their dealings. A person harvests simple marijuana or whatever, goes and sells it to the normal person for 100,000% profit and causes drugs and intoxications throughout the world. This is the life we live in now. The number one or number two money-making business on the internet, I'm sorry if I say it again, 23 million websites, is pornography. Rasulullah ﷺ told us, it seems these are the happiest people who make money through criminal ways, criminal according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In At-Tirmidhi, Rasulullah ﷺ also said, among the last hour things that people will do among my ummah and others is suicide. Person will pass by a grave and will wish that they were in the grave instead of the other person. An estimate of 1 million people commit suicide per year globally. So that's one person commits suicide every 40 seconds. And not in the countries of poverty. We're not talking about third world countries. These are mostly in first world countries. Ireland, America, Britain, Australia, all these places. This is where most suicide is done, in China, Japan. These are the places where they're committing suicide. And yet you think with all this technology, people want to die? Allahu Akbar. There's something called first world problems. Have you heard of them? If my coffee is not right, I'm miserable the rest of the day. Isn't that correct? First world problems. And these cause people to commit suicide because they're not happy enough. Rasulullah ﷺ said, knowledge is lifted away and ignorance is replaced. Subhanallah, with all this internet, you can look at Dr. Google, Sheikh Google, Master Google, Zoologist Google, by any Google person you can look up. So much ample information, and people are more ignorant than ever before. More ignorant than ever before. We have students that have iPads in their classrooms. Every student has an iPad. Every student knows how to hack a computer and knows how to get anywhere they like. But subhanAllah, it's as if they know nothing. Ignorance is worse, more and more. Rasulullah ﷺ told us that this will happen. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran 1,400 years ago, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ The hisab, judgment day, has come very near for people. While they are in a sleeping mode, turning away from our verses. مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَاهِيَةً No, مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا اسْتَمَعُوهُ وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ Not a single verse comes to them from their Lord, new, except that they listen to it while they are playing. This day and age, you give the verses of the Quran, you remind people, they're playing, mucking around. The Quran is on and the music is on. At the same time in the household. The Quran is on, we're mucking around. The adhan is going, we're still playing. وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ Playing, wasting time. لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ Their hearts are distracted. Their hearts are distracted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the earth will be filled with oppression and injustice till my brother Isa alayhi salam arrives to fill it with justice and peace. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, towards the end of time there will be young people inexperienced, corrupt in their inner motives. They've got different motives. A brother once came to me and said, brother, I want to become a public speaker. I asked him why. He said, because I want to have a voice. I said, why do you want to have a voice? He said, I want to be like you. You know, people can listen to me. I said, do you think this is what we want? We sit here with Allah's religion so that people can say, look what a great knowledgeable person he or she is. Are we entertaining people? Is this a movie that people come, oh, great speaker. What did he say? Wallah, I don't know, but it was great. This brother wants a voice. I said, why, ya akhi, why? Prayer, hardly any prayer. At home, the worst of the husbands. As a father, the worst of a father. When he's in secret, looking Allahu Alam at what? But wants to have a voice in front of people. What are the motives? So that I can look good and I know everything, people can listen to me? There's this song in Arabic, like, أَرْضُ شْتَدِّ مَحَدَّ أَدِّي You know, you walk on earth as if you're it and everybody else. I don't listen to music, it was in Lebanon, they used to play it all around, by the way. Brothers and sisters in Islam, their inner motives are wrong. They will read the Quran, but it will not go further than their throats. You will hear them speak with the best of words from the deen, eloquent speakers, but they are actually in reality the furthest away from deen, as the way an arrow is flung from its bow. Now, an arrow got flung away. So we have these youngsters who are now self-proclaimed mashayikh and ulama, mashallah, because they have the internet, cutting and pasting a few pieces of knowledge. Why? Only to shut you up, to shut me up. Yeah, my ego, see, I shut them up. This is what's happening today, the ego. Rasulullah ﷺ said, people will earn their livelihood with their own tongues, meaning hypocrisy. They'll say things which they are not. They'll claim things which they don't have. They will speak hypocrisy to earn money. Lies upon lies. This is the world we live in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from among my ummah will follow and imitate the non-Muslims' social practices and beliefs, palm by palm, step by step. Brother Shu'aib reminded me of a verse in the Quran in Surah At-Takwir. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ, to the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, and when the souls shall be paired. He asked me, what does paired mean? And we read in the tafsir that it means that on the day of judgment, you will be gathered with the ones who are like you. You are paired with the people that are the same as you. You can lie to people here, but on the day of judgment, Allah knows exactly what you are. You can fake yourself on Photoshop, but Allah knows exactly what photo you have. You can wear many hats, but Allah knows which hat you are. You can put all this makeup on the outside, but Allah knows exactly what makeup you have on the inside. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, يُحْشَرُ الْمَرْءُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَعْ مَنْ أَحَبُ. On the day of judgment, you'll be gathered with those who you used to love, the ones you used to be like, the ones you used to imitate. Now a person may ask, I wonder who I'm going to be gathered with on that last day. All you have to do is listen to your ear. Listen to your ear. Listen to what your ear is listening to on a daily basis. And you will know these are the type of people you'd like to hear from and be with. Look at what your eyes are looking at, and you will know that these are the types of people you would like to look at. Look at what your mouth is saying, and these are the types of people you would like to be with because they speak the same as you. Look at where your legs are taking and your hands are touching, and these are the types of people you'll be with. Very simple. Judge yourself before you are judged on that last day. Now is the last day of your exam. The day of judgment is the last day of receiving your fate. Two last days. The one where you still have a chance to change, and the one where it's time to receive your pay. Brothers and sisters in Islam, who are the saved ones? We are talking about the road to Jannah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ وَحُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. Jannah has been covered with a boundary called the boundary of the things that the human doesn't really like to do. You get irritated, but you don't want to keep doing it. Such as praying five times a day, waking up for Fajr. Oh man, taking that, you know, that blanket off. I know this brother, this person, he's got big muscles, goes to gym every day. But when it comes time for Fajr, can't lift the blanket. It's too heavy. Because you know why? Although the body needs training, there's something else that needs training too. What is it? The soul. We forgot about the soul. Today the soul has no... People don't even believe in the soul anymore. The soul has its nourishment, and that's why people are miserable. You need to also work on your soul. And Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahmatullah alayh, he said, wallahi, the soul has the same needs as the body has, but in a different way. Just like the body needs food and nourishment, the soul needs it as well. And the nourishment of the soul is ibadah, worship. The soul is just like a mirror. When you look at a mirror and you want to portray yourself, the mirror can sometimes get murky, and you clean it. And the soul can become murky. And the way you clean it is with dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You polish it all the time. The soul can die like the body can die as well. So don't kill it. The soul needs its nourishment, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. So Rasulullah said, Jannah has been covered with the things that you dislike doing. So if you want to enter Jannah, then do the things which your nafs tells you, I don't want to do it. Fasting, zakat, sadaqah, as Shaykh Akram said, the salat, being with the mu'mineen. You know, I saw some people where you can tell that when I realized that my iman has gone down and my soul has become sick? When I realized that when I see that brother who loves Allah, and I know that when he sees me, he's going to tell me, brother, it's time for salat right now. And if my iman is down and I feel like I want to delay my salat a bit and I see this person, I want to run away from him. That's happened to all of us, doesn't it? More in when your iman is down. You say, I don't really want to meet this person right now because, you know, there's something worldly that I want to do right now. And I know that this person is going to drag me away from my worldly thing, money or whatever it is, to take me to salat on its time. That's when the soul at that point is a little bit sick. And then you like to hang around with the others. Right? We see these youngsters doing that all the time. Even older people. So this is a sign. And Jahannam is covered with the boundaries of negative temptations, what your nafs loves, such as selfishness, greed, jealousy, lusts, temptations like that. So if you want to enter hellfire, just follow your nafs. You want to enter Jannah and break that wall, then follow the things which your nafs normally tells you, I don't want. When you nourish your soul enough, wallahi, they become the most sweetest things for you to do. The most sweetest. And every time your nafs tells you, I don't want to do it, you love that feeling. Have you ever heard of people who love the feeling of irritation of their nafs? They look at the nafs and the nafs says to you, don't get up for Fajr now, I'm going to make wudu and I've got to go to the toilet and do this and do that istinja and I've got to go make wudu. By the way, it only takes about 5 minutes to do all that, right? I timed myself the other day. I was teaching my son, don't worry, wudu is good. Let's time ourselves. Wallahi, it took 2 minutes and a half. Said to him, let's say La ilaha illallah 100 times. He goes, oof, 100 times? Far out, man. Let's time it. Brought the students one day in the masjid at the school. I said, let's do La ilaha illallah 100 times. They go, oh. I go, hold on, let's time it. You know how long it took? Try it yourself. 1 minute and 20 something seconds. 100 times La ilaha illallah in 1 minute and 20 something seconds. They go on their iPad, Allahu Akbar, how long? Now you might be thinking, those damn children, huh? Sorry, I said damn, those despicable children. What about the older people? How long do you stay on Facebook? How long do you have the phone in your eyes up until 2 a.m.? And then you complain you can't sleep. Of course you can't sleep because the brain now thinks you have to stay awake. What kind of a world do we live in? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We don't live anymore, nor are we dead. Not living and not dead. Not happy, not... Allahu a'lam, what are we? We're nothing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, however, the mu'mineen are safe. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And so on that day, we will save the mu'mineen. Allah says, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Will we on that day make the Muslims the same as the criminals? What is wrong with you? How do you judge? Allah also said, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. Those who are true believers, can they be the same as those who are corrupted? No, no, no. They will never be equal. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, don't be disheartened. Although the world has come in that way, Rasulullah ﷺ did say, there will always be a group of my ummah who will be standing firm on what I have come with. No person, no blamer, no bully, no one can make them change their course. They are firm, alhamdulillah, till the last hour. And if it wasn't for them, Allah would have destroyed the world a long time ago, brothers and sisters in Islam. If it wasn't for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not keep us going. May Allah make us among them. Brothers and sisters in Islam, then the last day comes on the day of judgment, and that is when you receive your record. You will be gathered with those whom you are like. If you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll be with him. But love comes with actions. Because Allah said, say, if you love Allah and His Messenger, then follow me. Allah will love you back. So loving means to follow. Imagine a husband keeps telling his wife, I love you, darling. I love you, darling.